This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. That's you. Great to see you again. Thanks for being here. Some podcast news. Okay, so I have, for some time, had this thing in my head, in my heart, to do another podcast called View from the Valley, which would cover the kind of other stuff, the history of the place, the kind of things that are going on with the birds and the environment and the plants and all that kind of stuff, which would then be separate from the stories and the various bits and pieces about alpacas. And so it's kind of separating them out a bit. So the plan is to make it every other week. So the Alpaca Tribe frequency would change. Alpaca Tribe would then be every other week. And the alternative weeks would then be View from the Valley. And this is a bit of an experiment, so I want to try this. I also love to hear from you any thoughts that you have in mind. So I've been trying to create some space, some capacity to do this new project and to do the other things that we've got on the go. And that just needs a little bit of adjustment. So it's changing things a little bit, but I'm not looking to stop the podcast. So I want to continue, and we'll still want to serve owners of alpacas to help with confidence and also some tips and all that kind of stuff, but also to tell the stories of the herd here, these amazing girls and the amazing boys. So that would be alternate weeks, one alpaca tribe and then View from the Valley. When's this going to happen? Well, the plan is that it would happen from the beginning of May. So there's a few weeks yet of the continuation of the Alpaca Tribe, as it has been, but then it'll change its frequency. Looking to do a bit more with interviews and discussing things with other owners. And if there's a particular thing you'd like me to cover, I'd love to hear from you as well on that score. So drop me a line to steve@alpacatribe.com. That's steve@alpacatribe.com. There you go. So I hope you like the idea. I'd love to know what you think. And I'll let you know more in the coming weeks. So that's an update on the podcast. I had a plan. I had a plan today to go and sit outside. This wasn't a very good plan. It wasn't a good idea. Not the way the weather has shifted. Oh, it's gone cold. We've had an amazing run. It's been really dry and been sunny. And it's been warm. It's been very spring's here and it's above average temperatures. No, not anymore. The lake has been getting lower and lower and lower. We were losing a lot of... Oh, I see you. Oh, you cheeky thing. The fox just going across the car park. Well, that's not good. It's gone, so I don't know that I need to go and chase it. I just happened to look out the window at that particular time. Well, there you go. So the male goose has been over, cruising over a bit closer, just sort of standing guard. He spotted this fox, the young one, little one, and his partner. So this is, I keep getting distracted by little movements and things. And what's going on here? What's going on? Do I need to intervene? I'm getting a little bit nervous now. There you go. So the geese. Yeah, so the geese. So we've got Alberta, and she sat on the nest. And Edmonton, he's been keeping guard. He's been sat on the lake or on the other side of the lake on the bank. But he's doing a lot of kind of cruising around. Just, he's doing his guarding duty. There's only the two of them. There's not the others aren't around. So they feel a little bit exposed, I feel. I worry about them. Oh, dear. It's nothing to do with me. They're wild. And they're Canada geese, which is why we've got Alberta, the female, sat on the nest. And Edmonton, who's the male who's cruising around doing his protective stuff. So it was lovely. This morning, called for her. He honked in the middle of the lake. It's been really dry. I was telling you about the lake going really low. And we had rain in the night and through just the afternoon and through the night. And it all came back. Well, no, that's not quite true. The lake's about half full again now, which is really great. So there were some bits that were definitely exposed. They're now completely covered. A bit more might soak out from the ground tomorrow. We've got a little bit more rain to come, but not a lot to speak of. It's going to be more damp than anything else, but it will help the grass, which is really good. That would be nice to help the grass get going. So, yeah, so they're kind of there doing their thing, and it's delightful. So she started sitting probably at the beginning of April, thereabouts. So she's about halfway through her labor of love, sitting on the nest. And she spends all her time there. But as I said, he called her and they met up in the middle of this fresh water with the extra rain that had come through. So that was a delight. And they kind of cruised around and they did their splashing together. It's just lovely as a pair. And then she was back on the nest and he was doing his "Oh my God" again. So there we go. Occasionally we're hearing a pheasant. There's a pheasant around. I haven't seen anything more than the one. And last year we had others around. We had two or three pairs around, but just the one male. I haven't seen him for a couple of weeks now. He's heard him now and again. So there's a bit of that going on. And the usual other stuff with the other birds. And they're so noisy. No, it's just the comparison. They're doing normal things. They're not really noisy. It's just that in comparison to the quiet of the valley, the birds sound really noisy. And the alpacas have been out and about quite a lot. They've been out, not always coming back for breakfast. You know what they're like? Fickle lot. Oh, we're gonna go this way and not come back. And eventually they'll loop around and come back and I'm not there then. So occasionally they've missed their breakfast and so occasionally they've had they've had more of a brunch than a breakfast. It's been so late. But they seem to be doing all right. And it'd be nice if there was a bit more grass. We're kind of missing. It's a bit green, but there's not a lot of height to it. It's not growing. It's really interesting. We had a call yesterday. The local alpaca group, so South Wales Regional Alpaca Group, it's part of the British Alpaca Society, one of the regional groups, and there's a WhatsApp group, and it's really active. There's a lot of advice being given and sought, and there's also regular talks, and there's a monthly Zoom call for everybody. That's working so well. It's a really good, very supportive community. If you could find something like that, or even generate something like that, actually try and set one up, get the interest, it does really benefit the many people who've got alpacas. Some have got them for the first time, some have got a lot of experience. And some of them were at the shows recently, etc. And oh, do come and see me. Come and look me up at the show. Like, so there's a lot of interaction happening there and a lot of good community developing, which is really nice. So there was a call, an online call, which was some people doing a talk about, partly they were coming from a background of equine, so horses rather than alpacas, but they'd done some research and they're looking at the general things about soil and the grass, the different species, which ones would be good, which are good if you're going to start from scratch, which are good if you're going to be oversowing, kind of management issues, kind of quick tests that you can do like pH and that kind of stuff to check what's going on and then do your other bits and pieces and work out what needs to be added, if anything, and how you can manage when you top the grass when it's too tall to encourage its growth. And don't let it graze too low because you need to leave about 3 leaves of the grass. Different species, different things going on there. But that was really helpful as a reminder and also as a stimulation. You kind of go, oh, but what we've got here, where on earth do we start? It's not flat. It's not very big. And it's not easy to manage the girls particularly and restrict their access to certain areas. We got a funny range of grazing. It's so much better than the years ago when we started. But it is far from ideal, I would have said. There we go. And we haven't got the equipment. We haven't got the ability to do lots of reseeding or given the water of the lake and that kind of stuff. We're also wanting to be careful about adding fertilizers or any chemicals. So how do we balance all of that and look for ways of regenerating? The alpacas are doing a good job. And obviously they're out and about and muck spreading. They're doing their own muck spreading. I don't have to do any, and we haven't got it stored anywhere to be able to do that anyway. And we don't really have the volume, even with the 30 alpacas we've got. So, yeah. No, but that was really useful. So there's things to be aware of. Now, hey, there's a new book just been published today, yesterday. So this is by Claire Whitehead, who's a vet. And I've talked about her before. She's done a lot of interesting work and a lot of good work, a lot of experience with alpacas or camelids generally, in fact. So the book that's just been published, Volume 1, that says that there's probably going to be a Volume 2. So it's just been published and it's called The Camelid Care Handbook for Alpaca and Llama Owners, Foundations of Care, Volume 1. So it's talking about the fact that she's a seasoned veterinarian and the UK's foremost camelid specialist, offers a practical and comprehensive guide to caring for your animals. Whether you're a new owner considering your first alpacas or an experienced breeder, this book will give you the confidence to keep your animals healthy, prevent problems, and know exactly what to do if things go wrong. Sounds great, doesn't it? And so there's how to implement Claire's 10 non-negotiable herd health activities to establish a solid foundation for your herd's well-being. Developing a comprehensive nutrition plan to support optimal health, immunity, growth, and fleece production. Protect your animals with effective biosecurity measures and proactive strategies to prevent and manage diseases. Identify early signs of illness, address common health issues, and handle emergencies with confidence. And collaborate with your veterinarian and embrace responsible camelid ownership by meeting your legal, ethical, and animal health obligations. Brilliant. It sounds so good. So my order is in. It should be arriving tomorrow. Can't wait. And I'll give you some more information about that once it's arrived and I've started to digest it. There's going to be a lot there. I don't think it's going to be an easy read, you know. I think I'm going to feel that I'm not doing the job very well, that I'm letting my alpacas down. Okay, so that's the negative feeling. But the other feeling, which is a positive one related to all that, is I'd like to do better, and this book's going to help me do that. So just to encourage you, have a look if it's of use or interest to you. And there'll be more here and there, I'm sure, will start appearing. But yeah, so that's Claire Whitehead, and it's the Camelid Care Handbook for Alpaca and Llama Owners. So that's Volume 1. Probably more to come. We shall wait and see. So that's great. Look forward to that. It's not cheap, but it is comprehensive, I think. So great. I was watching the boys up on the hillside this afternoon. Is it tea time yet? No, not yet. But I was watching and noticed Fred's. Freddie. Fred is our nearly blind alpaca. He does amazingly well, but he's not seeing very much. This is a challenge. And there's not a lot we can do about it. We keep an eye on his eyes and where there are extra things, because he's not seeing things and because sometimes he's too close to the others and they spit at him and it gets in his eye. So there's occasional infections and that kind of thing. So keep an eye on that and keep that under control. And yeah, he was coming down the hillside and they'd moved off the other group. The others had moved on and he kind of was aware of that and he was following after them. And he's coming down this steep thing, but he's really being very cautious about his steps. And yeah, he just seemed to be being very cautious, which is really good. There are some areas, though, where there's a desire line. We've talked about that before. That's the way they go. This is the direction, and this is the path that they will follow. And so some of that is regular, and it's very definite. You can see the black, darker earth and the grass to the side. I think it's easier for him to follow that kind of path. And he's familiar with it. But he does come down. He's never far behind them. Occasionally he gets separated, but he's pretty good at working out what he needs to do and get back with the others. They're not particularly looking after him and keeping them. They've got their own interests. They don't really seem to be sort of bothering to keep him up to them. But they're accepting of him, and there's an understanding. And yeah, I think there's a dynamic in there. You know, that's probably, if I spent a bit more time standing and watching them and their interactions, I probably would realize what's going on. So he's got some of them that they definitely give space to him and help him. Others that seem to be getting in the way and bullying him and pushing him a bit. Usual suspects there. And but he understands we favour him a bit in terms of food. When we're getting the food out, he gets a chance to come and at the food store part of the field shelter. He'll come and he understands, and he's got a corner. If we can get him in that corner, put the food out, and the others haven't kind of squeezed in, then he'll just stand there, and he's good. He knows where he is. He knows what he's doing, and is keeping the other ones at bay, as it were. So that works really well. But that's poor old Fred. He was taking very careful steps coming down the hill, and there are things like that you just need to be aware of, and it some days seem to be better than others. I think some light conditions are slightly better in terms of contrast and that kind of thing. And it's part of the growing old with your alpacas, and their needs will change, and we'll monitor and do what we can to support him. He's doing okay, though. I'm quite pleased. The other's doing well, and the fleece is looking good on some of them. The fleece is looking particularly sort of stunning. Yeah, Jack's got some really lovely fleece. He has a very good covering, and it's very, very long and dense. So that's going to be nice when we get to the shearing. Hey, it's not long, is it? Ooh, shearing time's not next month. So we'll need to get the combs and cutters sharpened and sent off and get those back and make sure we've got enough, get all the bags and get all the things in place, work out how we do the management. And we'll do all that with it. It's not quite here yet. When we're having all that hot weather, that sunny weather, the girls were going, oh, it'd be good to have a haircut. Oh, no, too early. Too cold at night. You wouldn't thank me for this. And then the weather changed, and they're quite happy now, having their fleece. And we haven't had too many flies around. We've got those little white biting flies, which I mentioned, and they had me the other day. Whoa. So I've got my spray out, my insect repellent, my fly repellent spray, which is a collection of different oils and things, including some eucalyptus oil. So, which is quite nice smelling. I kind of spray it in the air and let it land, settle on me. It keeps the flies off me while I'm around putting the food out and stuff for the girls. So, you can always tell where I'm when I've been doing that, because you can smell me coming. Except when it's just the audio of a podcast, you can't. Okay. So that's kind of where we've got to at the moment. That's where we are in the valley. Things are progressing into spring. The leaves are opening much more. The grass is showing signs, and the weeds are starting to grow. And we'll kind of try and keep those back and let the grass come through. And yeah, so there we go. And you never know. The weather might be good where you are. If it is, go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Take care. See you again soon. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.